Matter of fact, I think me and him are going to sing a song first. So here you go.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who hear me so, they love me, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
And then there was another one. You ready? I wish I had a little red box to put my Jesus in. I'd take him out and put him back again. Oh, I wish I had a little red box to put that devil in. I'd take him out and put him back again. Amen.
God loves you and he is good and he prays the Lord and he loves you.
Amen.
One Lord and faith and baptism.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. All right, Caleb. This is my second. If you can't see him up here, he's here, okay? Just...
Joseph had it tough. His fiance was pregnant, and not by him. Joseph didn't know the best and most godly way to act. It was a long, painful decision. He considered breaking up with Mary, but while he thought and prayed, God told him what to do. Just like Joseph trusted in God, you need to trust in God tonight. He was a real man. Joseph was a real man in God. He stopped worrying about what was expected and just did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't worried about what his friends thought or what they would say. But you just need to trust in God.
Right.
All right. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Don't worry about what your friends say or what your peers say about you. But you trust in God and follow after Him. Amen? All right. Cameron? This is my oldest son. My three sons. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If you're happy to be here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you're expecting great things tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you have faith tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles tonight, can you turn to Acts 3, chapter 3, and verse 1. When you have it, when you get there, say amen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive something from them.
Right.
Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Right.
Amen. My title tonight is Expecting Faith. You may be seated. When you pray, you have to expect that God will answer.
Right.
Like the lame man, he was expecting something from Peter and John. But what he got was greater than what he expected. Because when God's Spirit comes on the scene, things change and things happen to those who expect it. It is the same thing with faith. You have to have faith that God will answer your need. We have to have faith toward God. Like David, when he had expecting faith that God would guide that stone to Goliath. Center of Goliath's forehead and killed him. And it did because he had expecting faith. It is also like when Brother Jonathan with HYC, he had expecting faith that he would receive the Holy Ghost. And he did because he had expecting faith. When you flip a light, you expect the light to come on. You don't flip a light and say, I hope this comes on. No, because you have expecting faith. Just a few years ago, I was expecting God to use me and to work through me. And He did because He gave me the talent of playing the drums. Just like the three men who had talents given by God, two of them went and used them and multiplied them, but the one hid his and wasn't used by God. Tonight, if you expect God to give you something to be used by, just keep praying and expecting and have faith that God will give you the talent to be used in. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
All right. All right, Brother Jordan. Amen. I love Brother Jordan. He's a good guy.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to tell y'all about a testament that God wanted me to preach about. It was like 13 years ago. I was sleeping in my baby carriage, my mom, my grandma, and there was somebody that got sleeping and while driving, and he crashed through our house, and it put the mattress was against my grandma and it hurt her back, and then my mom had like scrapes and stuff, and then I was pushed against my carriage, and then my mom was yelling, "Where's my baby at?" And then that guy went to go look for him, for me. He found me, and he thought I was dead. So my mom rushed over there, and there was a nearby hospital, and we went to there. My oxygen level was 20, and then it went back to normal because of God. I'm glad to be here today.
I'm thankful that Brother Jordan is here tonight too. Amen. He is a great encouragement to me in my life. Brother Brandon? I don't know what it is, just something special about this young man, and I've been waiting all day to hear him preach. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My title tonight is He is Truly an On-Time God. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans for us, and God has things that He wants us to do to further His kingdom." Praise the Lord, and you may sit down. It is up to us to fulfill those plans. We shouldn't worry about how we're going to pay the bills or do any of the things that we tend to worry about all the time. We should just trust in God, because He will take care of us through our hardest times and those times that we feel like that we could just grow wings and fly. He is there watching out for us every single day. He would never do anything to hurt us. He is a loving, caring, awesome, almighty, great, omnipotent, extraordinary God that will never leave our side as long as we obey Him. Praise the Lord, and God bless.
Amen. He had a whole page of notes there, but I thought he was going to get rolling there for a minute. Amen. I believe it's Brother Cody's next.
Praise the Lord. Glad everybody came tonight. It's good to see y'all in the house of the Lord. My title tonight is The Calling of God. And I'm going to take you to Psalms 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. I believe that God's going to use some of our youth. He has a calling on some of our lives. And me personally, I believe He has a calling on my life. I pray every day, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. And how do you know that He's got a calling on your life? Well, He'll put the desire in your heart to want to save souls, to want to be used by Him, to want to be sent wherever He wants to send you, no matter what the consequences is. And I have that desire, and I believe He wants to use me. I believe He wants to use our youth, or some of the people in the church. You don't have to be young to be used by God. It doesn't matter your age. And I just want to be used, and I want to see lost souls. One, I want to see my dad up here in church praising the Lord. And you might sometimes, you're sitting there, you're scared and you're nervous, like I am. I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous up here. But any chance I get the opportunity, I want to do it because I want to be used. So I want to get up here and I want to preach to y'all about the calling of God. And when you're scared or you're nervous, I know you're going to be, but try not to be, because in Philippians 4:13 it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." That right there says it all. He is with you no matter what. If you're having trouble or no matter what you're going through, He is there. He understands. He'll bring you out of it. It's just His timing. He wants to make a testimony out of it. You never know. I believe Brother Neil might be used. this is going to be a testimony for him. I believe he will be healed. In the name of Jesus, he will. I believe it. Because our God can do great things. Thank y'all for coming. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You have to be available. I'm so glad that Cody has come to the realization that God is trying to use him and has a calling on his life. Sometimes the most toughest part is just accepting the calling of God. And it sounds like to me Cody's already accepted it. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Brother Jonathan. Amen. It was just a couple of weeks ago that this young man expected Brother Cameron to go to HYC and receive the Holy Ghost, and he did. And then on Wednesday night, he was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. We're excited about this young man.
Praise the Lord. What I want to talk about tonight is putting God first in your life. And I had to go through it. And I didn't get to know God until I was about 22, right before New Year's. I've been in this real world, and you don't want to go there. 2 days before New Year's, I asked God, I said, God, if I go to church and celebrate you, New Year's, will you give me a new life? Will you show me? And I went, and I loved it that night, and he did it, and I kept on coming, and I was going to Corsicana Church. That's why I had been here about 2 months. And I came here. I knew God was here. God's everywhere. And when I came here, you know, I loved it. I've been wanting the Holy Ghost for a while. I quit smoking. I drank beer before. I've done some things that most of y'all young ones haven't. And y'all are going to have temptations coming because y'all are 15, 16, 17, 18. And I'm 23. But I want y'all to know that when something comes, a temptation, you ask yourself, would God want me to do this? Is God worth turning your back on him? Is God going to accept me if I do this? And that's why I put God first as much as I can. Actually, 99.9 I do nowadays. And it's my first time being able to say this one time. You know. But I love God very much, and I'm going to stick in here till the day I die. And I know that I'm going to a better place. Living this life and going through what I have to go through every day, worth it. So y'all young ones, remember, y'all are gonna have friends that are gonna have a secret, you know, gonna stay here, you know, because I mean, y'all are going to, you know, high school and stuff, you know, you're gonna say, hey, man, say no, I know I'm going somewhere. No. Praise the Lord.
Alright, we have saved the best. Well, I wouldn't say the best, but we have saved one, I wouldn't say one of my favorite. He's very special to me, Brother Kevin Brown. He has a great testimony, what God has brought him out of. I believe I don't want to go into all of his life, because I don't know if he's going to be talking about this or not, but when he was 6 years old, he started riding the bus to church. His mom and dad didn't come to church. The brothers and sisters didn't come to church, but he wanted to come to church and to feel something. And I believe he's 23. I'm sorry. Trying to speed his life up. He's 23 years old, and still to this day, his mom and dad doesn't come to this church. His family doesn't come here, but yet God has something special for this young man's life. And just like Brother Cody said, you have a calling on your life, brother. Just accept it. You can run all you want, Brother Kevin, You can hide, but God will not stop calling you till you have accepted it. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Kevin to come and minister to us tonight. All right. Amen. All right, Kevin, you can bust out with your entrance.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm glad to be here tonight. I don't know about y'all guys, but I came expecting great things in this house.
There we go.
Yeah. But I came expecting great things in this house tonight. I'm so glad Brother Bacon gave us all the opportunity to get up here and, you know, preach or speak or teach whatever God has laid on our hearts. You know, and also, Sister Grissom is glad to have y'all here tonight. And, you know, I want to thank Brother Grissom, even though he's not here tonight, you know, because this is holy ground up here we're standing on. But before I get into the little, can you turn this down just a tad? There we go. Before I get into my little 2-minute sermon, and I might be an hour, 2 hours, y'all don't mind, right? Nah, I'm checking y'all. But a lot of y'all looking at me, y'all thinking, he's a big boy. Yeah, I am a big boy. I am big. But 23 years ago, February the 2nd, 1989, I was born. So, yeah, he. But when I was born, my kidneys shut down. I had lung problems, and I think it was, I can't remember back then, but I think my mom told me it was fluid on my brain. Well, they care flighted me to Dallas, the Children's Medical Center. I stayed up there for 6 months. The doctors gave up. They said, if he do make it, he will be disabled, mentally retarded, and everything. And trust me, my mom, she believes in God, but she's not a firm believer. And from what I have heard from her, you know, that she prayed each and every night, you know, that God would make a way. But one thing the doctors didn't know was that 23 years today, I'm standing tall. They might gave up hope, but that man above said, it ain't happened. He's one of mine. And like Brother Bacon said, I started here at the age of 6 on the bus. Little bald-headed kid out there in the yard playing in dirt. And Brother and Sister Cofer came by. And they're like, you want to go to church? I didn't know no better. I'm jumping up and down because I thought it was school. I didn't like school back then, but I'm like, sure, why not? And my mom, she's like, y'all have him home. In 15 minutes, he's going to start crying because he's a mama baby. Yes, I am, because I still stay with my mama. And but some 15 minutes turned into, I've been here 17 years. My mom, my dad, my sisters, they don't come. And, you know, it's hard standing a house with other people that have a different belief from what you have. But, you know, all I can do is pray, you know, and I knew God had something special for me. I really, deep down inside, about the age of 10, I know this is a long testimony, I'm sorry for taking the time, but about the age of 9 or, no, I think it was 10 or 11, went to Gumbar, and I don't remember the guy's name. All I know, he drove a Go Lexus. I remember the car for sure. He was a evangelist. He preached, and I got back on the bus that night, and I told Brother Davis, the pastor that was here then, well, back then, I told him, so I'm going to be a preacher one day. He said, seriously? I'm like, yeah, I want to be a preacher. I want to move to Chicago, Illinois, and become a preacher. And I haven't left yet to go to Chicago, but I'm still holding on to that dream. But I knew it was something special that God has, you know, called me to the ministry. And about the age of 18, somewhere around there, I kind of got out of church after I graduated from high school. But it's just, like Brother Cody said, it's something deep down inside that you know, hey, this ain't right. I'm not supposed, not like you said, but also like Brother Jonathan said, you know, this ain't right. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, I know where I was supposed to be. And my mom also got on to me about it. Even though she don't come to church and her Sunday mornings or to watching Bobby Jones gospel and all that, she'll get up and, you going to church this morning? Oh, no, I'm going to lay around the house. KB, you know that ain't right. You know where you're supposed to be. I'm thinking, you don't go to church yourself, so how can you tell me? But no, I didn't tell her that. I said it to myself. But, you know, she knew that God has had something for me. And, yes, I've been running for a while. It's been told more than once that I have a calling on my life. Last week at a youth rally, I'm sorry for taking so long, but last week at a youth rally, I ain't even got there yet, but I don't know the guy name. We had walked in, it was at Brother Tim Williams in Dangerfield. We walked in and he asked me, was I a minister? I'm like, who, this kid? Nah, he was like, do you think you have a calling on your life? Yeah. And he went on to say something else. And I'm like, okay, cool, awesome. And then during prayer, this black guy, I don't know who he is, Lord bless him, I don't know his name either, he coming to me like, you a preacher? I'm like, no sir, I'm not. I'm like, he like, you think you are called to the ministry? I'm like, yes I am. Yes sir, I am. He like, you have a calling on your life. He like, you can look at you and tell. I'm like, nah, not me, you know. That's what I'm thinking, but it's people out there that see us, you know, that, you know there's something different about us than the ones out there in the world. So, you know, that's my little testimony. And now I'm supposed to get to the good part about it. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 49-52. When you get it, say praise the Lord.
Lord.
That's only two people. I'm checking, three. Amen. Alrighty. It says, then David put his hand in the bag and took it a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into the forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head. Cut off his head. With it, yes, thank you. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistine fell along the road to Samaria, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry. Even as far as Gath and Ekron. Praise the Lord. Y'all guys can be seated. The message not the message. I'm sorry about that. My title that I want to talk about for the next 3 hours, no, two minutes probably, is The Bigger They Are, The Harder They Fall. All right. There's two things that when I was actually, I started studying Sunday, and then I had to kind of, you know, put it aside because I have to go to class every night for the police academy. We'll be there from 6 to 10 o'clock, and by the time I get home, I'm ready to go to sleep. So this morning I woke up, went to work, came in, and went at it. But while I was actually going through looking at some stuff, the two things that came out to me about David is, one, he was confident, and two, he was brave, because nobody else went out there to fight Goliath. They was, you know, scared. Oh, he's a big guy, you know. But like it says, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Even though Brother Bacon, he's a big guy, I'm a big guy. But the bigger we are, the harder we can fall. But, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, them the two things that came across to me, you know, that he's confident and he's brave. Another thing, Sunday morning, while after church was over, Brother Philip was back there, and I went back there and asked him to look up valor and mighty men of valor, and it's basically talking about courage. That's the definition for it. And, you know, us generation today, we need that courage, because we are scared to step out in faith. We're scared to take, we don't want to expect something. We want it to be right there. But, you know, like Brother Cameron said, you have to have faith. You have to expect that, you know, God is going to pay your bills, you know, put food on your table, clothes on your back. You got to have faith. You know, and if you got that courage, can't nothing come against you. You know, there are things, there are going to be Goliaths we're going to come across in life. There's going to be mountains you're going to come across. You know, it's going to be like, oh, how did I get here? You know, how can I get around this big tall tree or this mountain? But, you know, in the book of Matthew 6:33, if I'm not mistaken, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we put God first in our life each and every day, as soon as our feet hit the floor in the morning time, we should say, praise the Lord, thank you for the morning. You know, read your Bible. It ain't going to hurt to grab your Bible and read it before you get up and head off to school, because that's giving you courage to go out there and save somebody. So, you know, David had three brothers. Let me back up. He had three brothers, but they didn't do nothing. Nobody did nothing except small little David. And he went out there and fought this giant. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I would fight a giant. Me, KB, he's a chicken. And I would have took off running. That's just me, but I don't know about everybody else. But he had the courage to go out here and stand toe-to-toe. This man had a sword. He had a slingshot, a sling and a stone. And with one swing, knocked him out. So that takes a lot of confidence and courage to go out there. And you got this tall dude, and you like, yeah, what's up? Yeah, me and you. Yeah, me and you. But he knocked him out, you know. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And, you know, how can I put this? In the book of Samuel also, 17:33, it talks about, basically talks about, then, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Okay, he's a man of war. You know, we're youth. But as long as we have that man up there beside us, and we put him first in our lives, it don't matter what we come across in life, we will conquer. You know, you will have victory at the end of the road. You know, in today's society, I'm going to be finishing. In today's society, the youth, they look at, you know, y'all guys are still learning, you know. Just let the grown-ups say, yeah, you know, I'm still learning some things. I'm only 23. I'm young, but I'm still learning some things. But, you know, it's to stand up and take the torch, and Rome was, you know, Sister Dickerson, Sister Stevens, them, the ones that have been here for some years, they have ran that race. And, you know, it's our time to take that torch and run with it and, you know, keep this heritage going, this tradition and everything. You know, my mind just went blank. Sorry. My mind just went blank. Completely blank. But like I said, you know, it's up to us to, you know, run with this. Like Brother Jim Tony at HYC, and I'm not trying to take his little sermon, but he preached on the dual nature of supernatural, the lion and the lamb. We can be the lamb and, you know, come over here and, oh, he's so cute. Or we can be the lion and go over here and take what's ours, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, if you want to stand back and let somebody take what's yours, that's you. But me, it ain't happening. I'm taking what's mine, you know what I'm saying? God claimed that for me. I'm going to take it, run with it, and for the next, hopefully for the next 60 years, I'm going to keep it, I'm going to keep running, and pass it on down, because I'm a first-generation Pentecostal. And yes, I want to get married and have kids, and see my kids, you know, pass the torch to their kids, and their kids to their kids, and their kids to their kids. You know, I have faith that one day, my mom, my sisters, my dad, my whole entire family, and that's a lot of Browns, it's going to be, we're going to have to build a new church. And I believe we are, praise the Lord. But I believe one day they're going to be sitting here in this sanctuary, you know what I'm saying? That's faith that I have. You know, David had faith that he can go out there and take down that giant. Nobody else had faith, but he had that confidence, and he was brave about it. And if we can get some young men like him that's got courage and that's brave to go out there and fight battles each and every day, what can come against us? Like I said, you know, if God's for us, who against us? You know what I'm saying? So I just want to, that was my little sermon, but I just want to say, you know, no matter what, you know, keep the faith. You know, run with that torch. Don't let nobody blow your fire out. You know what I'm saying? That's my main thing, because I have a desire in my heart, and it's always has been my dream since I started this church to get up here and stand behind this pulpit and preach. Not preach, but just talk, I guess you can say, 2-3 minutes, but it's always been my dream, and it's not going to be my last time, just to let y'all know that. Y'all might see me at General Conference one day, because I have faith and I'm expecting things. Praise the Lord.
Turn to Ephesians. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. I'm not going. I told him earlier, I said, you know what? Since y'all are preaching tonight, I'm going to let y'all just have it. So, but one thing that David was, the Bible clearly says it. He was a young person. Just because you have a, you know, some years on you, and you are elder, and you've been experienced. Elders, I'm not talking to you right now, okay? But young people, look what David done in his life. He was a king. He slew a bear. He slew a lion. He killed Goliath. You know, he done all these awesome, wonderful things as a young person. So tonight, what's holding you back from doing awesome things? Is it fear? Is it not having that courage that Brother Kevin was talking about? We need to get that courage tonight. And we don't need to be like that little lamb over here. Oh, look at that precious little lamb. But we need to be like that lion and grab what God has given to us. Because he has given us great things. And we need to find our calling. Brother, we need to trust in God. We need to expect faith and great things. When it all comes down to it, he's an on-time guy. Amen.